everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here talking about The Axeman Cometh Part 2. Sorry, it's the Saxman episode still. Regrettably, it's still the weird saxophone guy.
Sorry.
Sorry. And I'm joined, as always, by Michelle Lovely and Slovy. What's good, gang?
Hello. Yo.
We are possibly on a ticking clock due to weird power outage issues, so we're just gonna get down to the get down, huh? It's part two anyway. You already had a lead in of the last episode. Let's just get to it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We were finishing Fiona Has Cancer, yeah? And we're moving to... Did we talk about the... Oh, no, we definitely talked about chrysanthemums. Right, okay. I've got where we are. All right. Yep. shall we get it going?
Yeah. Terrible, terrible time for Delia to develop the sight TM. The sight being... I don't remember, because we haven't gotten that far yet, where they actually, go in... to depth about what each one of the seven wonders is. There's a name for whatever this is. It might just be the sight. I don't remember.
It's the worst.
It's bad. Yeah. It's when you touch someone, you can see one of their memories, which is really the worst iteration of mind reading that I can possibly
think of. You can
see
random.
Specifically the exact memories that give you enough information to get you in trouble, but not enough to avoid a cathartic downfall. it's really bad, you know? It's he's cheating on you. Oh, that's terrible. We're gonna leave out the part where he's killing witches, though.
Yeah.
It's just come on now.
Yeah, it's also really odd because I don't know if it's just implied that she doesn't have control over it yet. I'm not sure if that's the implication we're supposed to be taking away from it, because they don't, though it is set in a school environment, Miss Robichaud's school for gifted whatever. I cannot emphasize enough that no teaching goes on here. It is essentially just a shelter for witches.
I never really put that together till right now. You're absolutely right. There's no learning.
They don't teach any of the girls how to use their powers better. They don't instruct them. If anything, it's every time one of the girls uses one of their powers, they're like, "Hey, cut that out." And then then something else
happens.
Which
is a real shame. Because so much young adult media revolving around the teaching of magic in one of the 30 iterations that have been done of it always involves wacky teachers teaching the different subjects. And they had so much room. Clearly they made Myrtle. They know how to make a little weirdo that everybody loves. So why didn't they do that more? They could have had so much fun, but no, it's just a bunch of girls walking around an old house being like, "What do you want to do today, Nan?" "I don't know. Same thing we did yesterday, I guess." Fuck and all.
Yeah, look at our hot neighbor, and then maybe you'll have someone attempt at our life. Maybe that's why Madison was getting into so much trouble. It's because she didn't have enough enrichment in her enclosure. So she was gnawing on the drywall, tearing stuff up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They needed to have movie night and show the flying nun or whatever.
Yeah.
Are the zombies part of an exam or something? Nah, that just happened. Sorry, this is a terrible school.
I mean, this is why Spalding has the weird doll room. They left him alone for too long, and that's what he got up to.
Season 3 takes place during which spring break, so this is just a big
summer
party for all of them.
Yeah, this is just their summer break. Wow, Zoe got really lucky with when she decided to manifest her coochie powers. Also, we spend a lot of time this season talking about Zoe's coochie powers, even though they've only been used twice in the show. But I have so many questions. What if you're having some self-care time? Do you melt off your own fingers? Are you immune to it? Do you have to? Obviously, you don't have to want it to happen, because I don't think she wanted to kill that first guy.
Nah,
I don't think that was intentional.
Right.
So
I was gonna say, because the thing is, if it hurts you, then there's just the question of can you wear gloves, and then do you just need a really good condom? Sheepskin? What are we doing here?
I know I've already made the joke, but I really do want to know, is it like caustic damage? Is this like an acid situation, or is this like a mana draining? Like
what
a metaphysical?
Do I need?
Yeah, how do I need to like spec out my character to maximize my Demon Gucci what? Potential?
What role do
Getting
I need
ready
to survive?
Flex seal my dick.
Oh my god! Yeah, I have so many questions about it, and like they don't. If I remember correctly, they don't really go into it at all.
Well, I think the
yeah, that's probably for the best. Like,
well, I think the premise of the school is you're supposed to learn how to control your powers and stuff. But since we're on summer vacation, I think she has to just wait for a while.
Well, you know? And if I'm one of the other witches, because like some of the witches are starting to develop other powers, you know, like oh, yeah. Like Madison got pyrokinesis, stuff like that, and like Fiona basically just told Queenie that she's starting to develop new powers, and like Delia's developing new powers. I would be constantly mortified, terrified that I might spontaneously get Demon Coochie, like at the worst possible time.
Zoe, to the season finale, the big reveal is like, Zoe, you're not really a witch. You just have exploding gonorrhea. It's a weird thing. Like,
just you specifically.
Yeah.
That would have been actually, I think, a pretty good reveal, is that, like, that's not actually what it is. Like, she's just, like, a serial killer or something. But alas, the show's not that interesting just or that funny.
Vaginal Ebola or something. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think where we left off was literally just Delia getting the sight and being like, who's that redheaded lady? And her husband, whose name I can't, Hank. Hank,
yeah.
Is like oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's getting yelled at and kind of skitters out of the room like a dog who, like, knocked over a flower pot or something. And then she realizes that Myrtle is dead also. That doesn't ever get readdressed this episode. So yeah, if you're expecting closure, just don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
You killed Myrtle? Well, she burned you. No, she didn't. Moving on.
That regrettably, and I mean it with my whole heart, regrettably, means that we are leading this episode in directly with the weirdest, most uncomfortable scene of this episode, which is right in the middle for the actual episode.
Also, reminder, last time this environment was at the forefront, was on screen, it was Spaulding grabbing Zoe from behind and like covering her mouth and like getting ready to choke her out.
That was the commercial cliffhanger, exactly.
Well, anyway, Spaulding is tied down in a chair now.
Yes.
Somehow. I guess the Scooby-Doo gang let him through enough doors that he just ended up tied up. I don't know.
Just Zoe. Just Zoe, yeah. The one with the demon coochie. No telekinesis or anything. Just Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know why they do this. Yeah, because they'll show what happened like in a few minutes, but I don't get that at all. Because I rewound this because sometimes like I'll like do a thing while I'm watching it, you know, and then I'm like, wait, what did I miss? And then I couldn't find it, and I'm like, did Hulu mess up or something? And then it's like, oh, okay, no, it's yeah. So
no, I
anyway.
100% think. I think I said in our last episode, the way it's like set up, I 100% think that like they just when they were editing this put the scenes in the wrong order. Like, it literally just seems like they put the scenes in the wrong order. And they're like, oh, shit, we forgot to put the part where Zoe actually fights him in there. Oh, it's okay. Where are we at now? Oh, the interrogation scene. Just put it in there. It's fine.
Just bring everybody in.
That they thought, like, they're like, it adds intrigue for 15 seconds. If you confuse the audience for 15 seconds, is that intrigue?
Yeah, I don't get it.
The filmmaking version of a smoke bomb.
Yeah, exactly. Because they show that, yeah, all that happened, they just show immediately after, so there's, like, no real delay, that Zoe just, like, grabbed a doll and smashed it over his head in a way that didn't look particularly dangerous,
right?
If we're being honest.
Not like a porcelain doll either, right? Like, isn't it just like a doll? Like, just like something where you're like, that knocked you out or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
like,
not like, but it wasn't like a Raggedy Ann. Like, it wasn't soft. It wasn't a cloth doll, but it wasn't like a porcelain breakable doll. It was just like a bitty baby, if you know what that is. Like a baby doll.
Yeah.
He just hasn't eaten in a really long
time. He's anemic.
He's like someone in like the last week of Survivor. Yeah, he just hit him with a coconut and he's dead. That's it.
Frankly, he was really tired anyway. So it's just like, you know, yeah. I'll take a nap. It's okay.
Yeah. So he's obviously not much of a threat because he's tied to the chair and they're interrogating him. And by they, I mean the amalgamation character that is Zoe Queenie Nan for this this episode, because they're almost inseparable from one another in this episode. And they have him tied up, which I get knocking him out, but, like, I don't know. It feels like moving a grown man around. And, like, what did you tie him up with? Where did you guys get rope from? Like, there's just a lot of logistics that I have a lot of questions about. But, yeah, like, they have him tied up.
Also, like, when you knock people out, they usually aren't out for that long. As somebody who's, like, knocked a person out, they usually get back up pretty quick. Like, you usually have like a minute.
Yeah,
like,
if you're out for like a certain amount of time
forever, if, like, you're not like continuing to choke them. Yeah,
if they're down for like a certain amount of time, bad things are happening inside the brain.
Yeah. That's called having a concussion and passing out.
Yeah, that's it's very no frowned bueno. upon. You don't want to be unconscious for an extended period.
9 out of 10 doctors recommend not getting a concussion and falling unconscious at the same time.
But he's fine, other than just taking a little nap, because that's how, like, I don't want to, like, I don't know, shame. As there's a lot of things to shame American Horror Story for, but I don't want to shame them for that trope, because I think I've never seen any show or movie that doesn't treat getting knocked unconscious like you take a big nap and then you're fine. Every show and movie does that for some reason, even though that's not how it works.
Right. Usually, though, the movie and show shows you that before the aftermath. Like, I don't know why they flipped it here, but, you know.
Or at least they make the lead-in bonk a little more convincing, you know, as opposed to, like... Like, they at least will break, like, a bottle in a cool way.
Well, because that's the other confusing part, is, like, I think that's the other thing, and the other reason why they swapped up how they showed this order of events is because, like you said, the last thing we saw was Spalding coming up behind Zoe and putting his hand over her mouth. And it, when we see the flashback, we don't see how we got from point A to point B of her not having his hand over her mouth and hitting him over the head with a doll. So I think they were like, they can figure it out. All they need to know is that the end result is that Zoe is no longer grabbed. And then she hit him over that. It's the same with, like, Fiona and the Minotaur. They're like, everybody can draw their own conclusions about how this character ended up here.
You the story, right?
Yeah.
Please don't make us film an action scene with these two, please. Yeah.
Spalding, who's like 9 million years old, might just crumble into dust at any given point in time.
And he kind of almost did, more, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, metaphorically, at least, right? Like,
so the way that they get the information from Spalding, they do two different methods, but it seems like they could have just done one of these methods for some reason, and they decided to do two of them. So they first start, like, actually hurting him. And then, at a certain point, Queenie just starts doing her superpower on him. It seems like that's an either-or situation, because they both inflict harm on Spalding. It's just that one leaves marks and one doesn't. Actually, you know what? I don't even know that one doesn't. It's just that, like...
Yeah, they both do.
Yeah.
I don't really get, like, why don't they just cut the middleman out on this one? But yeah, whatever, sure.
Yeah, you like, know? If you're going to hurt him, just hurt him.
Yeah, right.
But the other thing, too, is when you're interrogating somebody, you got to ask the question before burning. Like, you can show the threat, but you don't inflict the threat until they don't cooperate, right? Yeah. Otherwise, why do they cooperate? Like, the whole thing is you go, like, hey, I'm going to burn you with this here spatula if you don't tell me what I need to know. And then they say no. And then you burn them. And then they reconsider their decision, as opposed to you burn them and just be like, tell me what I want to know. And then, you know, like, you'll burn him again, but it's better to just give him an out right away, I think, right?
Here's another fun, though, if we're doing interrogation facts. It doesn't work, because people, like, they find people just say anything to, like, get rid of pain. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just, like, people will lie about stuff they don't know. Yeah, so.
Torture is, like, the worst way to get information, 1,000%. Yeah.
Yeah, if your morals aren't, you know, for it, I'm just telling you it's not working, you know, and also, you know. don't listen to the podcast. No, anyway.
Just send someone who asks nicely.
Yeah.
That's really all you have to do in most situations. Like 90% of the hacking community is just like asking someone for something nicely and then lying about who you are.
Exactly. Yeah,
you can just get in anywhere. It's crazy. A clipboard, a fake name, and a desire to be a place. And you can find your way anywhere. It's easy.
Or, conversely... know how to read minds, which is what Nan can do.
And which is shown to immediately not work for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's less that it doesn't work and more that, like, Spalding is the only person in this show who remembers that Nan can read minds, which is for the best that they... imagine if they didn't have a character that could read minds. Because in case anybody's forgotten, Spalding can't talk. Because for certain periods of the show, I also forget that Spalding physically can't talk. I just think that he doesn't because he's a weirdo. He can't. He does not have a tongue.
He cut out his tongue, right?
So the only issue is Nan reads his mind, but he's just like lying while she's doing it, which kind of invalidates the usefulness of mind reading if someone can just like think... bowl of spaghetti, pasta, pasta, bowl of spaghetti, like, and you can't get any information out of them. I'm reading their mind, but all they're saying is pizza, pasta, put it in a box. I don't know, there's nothing here.
He's like, yeah, because he like thinks vaguely, so she jumps to the wrong conclusion sometimes, which is just weird when you think, because she's like, why'd you kill Madison? He's like, and he thinks like, I'm a man of unique taste. So she's like, it's sexual, which isn't true, because like, you know, Fiona killed it, and he's covering for her. But, like, Nan doesn't get that because Spalding is tricking her by thinking wrong, you know? Like, it. Because
he's writing a full fan fiction, by the way. We're not, like, giving it its full attention because it's a weird, creepy scene. But he is writing, like, an elaborate necrophilia fan fiction for Nan in his mind. And she's like, wow, what a freak.
And you'd think Nan would be hearing him say, like, all right, I got to think of something. How about it's just that? You know what I mean?
The whole thing about mind reading is, like, if you don't get the whole picture or, like, the truth, it's pretty useless. I guess I get why Myrtle was like, I'm the witch of truth because y'all mind readers are stupid as hell.
Right?
Someone just thinks pizza, pasta, put it in a box, and you can't get anything out of them. That's all it takes.
Like, I feel like Zoe and Queenie weren't going to involve Nan until it's like, oh, he can't talk. I guess we need her to do that part of it. You know, like it doesn't work. Like, yeah, like normal mind reading.
Yeah, it makes mind reading like basically just someone can talk to you. Like as soon as they're aware of it, it is immediately invalidated, which rough.
If he didn't speak English, like she's basically a translator now, you know?
Yeah.
And what's the other thing that's like really confusing and weird about this specific scene is, like I said, he like makes an elaborate fan fiction in his mind about why he killed Madison and how he's like a freak and he does necrophilia or whatever. And they all just decide he's lying for like no reason. Like,
well, so at first Queenie like is like, I'm burning this dude. I'm absolutely burning this dude, and burns him again. And then he goes unconscious. And then after, a confession that was told through a mind reader, which as far as they know is foolproof at this point.
Right.
Zoe just, and this was the one that pissed me off the most of this episode, just intuits, no, he was lying. Hey, he actually didn't do it. Why does she figure this out? Vibes. Vibes, I guess.
Yeah, like truly vibes.
No, I don't think he did it.
She didn't even, she's not, like, she is not, though we, the audience, are privy to hearing his thoughts, like, she isn't, because it's all coming through Nan. And Nan doesn't really, like, relay a lot of the information. She just goes, he's a necrophiliac. That's, like, all she says. Or he just says it's sexual or something.
Seriously, if you haven't, rewatch, if you have watched this scene, just rewatch it and only listen when Nan talks, because that's all the information Zoe is getting. And Zoe came up with the presupposition that Spalding was the killer and he did it. And she just decides like, nah, I've changed my mind. I've changed everything. All I came up here because I thought he did it. I found her body and then he grabbed me and tried to knock me out, but I knocked him out. And then the mind reader told me he did do it because of sex. And he, yeah, like literally, like he's like, I have a man of unique taste. And Nan just goes, it's because of sex. And so, like, that's all she heard was, I did do it because of sex. And like, then she's just like, nah. He didn't actually do it. Based on what, Columbo?
I was just going to say, you need that Columbo thing. You need, like, some kind of detective work here. It's like, but that doesn't add up because. But they skip that step. So, yeah, that is just like, just trust me, bro.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, delivered in the way that, like, someone who already had information that the person being interrogated didn't know they had. And they were, like, waiting to see if they could catch them in a lie. But Zoe doesn't have that information. And the information she thinks she has is confirmed by the information she's given by Nan. So there's literally nothing that indicates that they shouldn't think that Spalding did this. And the fact that they figure out that Spalding didn't do this will be a plot point later in the show. So, like, it's very odd that they're like, maybe if we just make it really confusing for the audience, they won't realize how weird it is that they immediately wrote off Spalding as a suspect in this. And that's the interrogation scene. All we glean from it is that for we had a whole interrogation just for Zoe to be like, I've decided the answer, actually. And the answer is correct. It's just there's nothing in the scene that gives her that information, or earlier in the episode, nothing that gives her that information. So don't worry about it too much. But you know who I am worried about and I'm very excited to announce is Misty Day's back.
Misty. Yay. Misty's here. Yeah.
The love of my life is back. She is watering. I would call it a grave, but it's not really. It's just kind of a mound of dirt in her garden, yeah. I assume.
I mean, yeah, it's supposed to be like a disturbing kind of thing because it's supposed to be like a
garden.
It's
a very tall mound.
Yeah.
It's clearly got El Cuerpo in it, 100%. Yeah.
And she's watering it, just kind of taking care of it. And I think the implication here is like, oh, this is her quote unquote good Louisiana mud that like fixes injuries or whatever. And I'm like, listen, I don't expect anybody who made this show to have done any research or care, because they also called what definitely should have been like blackened chicken jerk chicken like three episodes ago. But that's not what the quote unquote the Louisiana mud would be. I don't know if you've ever seen a swamp, but it's not like topsoil. That's not what the mud is. The mud is like the stuff at the bottom of the swamp. And that would be what she would be using, not like a pile of topsoil that she got from Home Depot, like bags of fertilizer. That's
no, it'd be like globs of life-filled like matter, like very gross.
Yeah, wet.
The gross stuff,
wet.
The nasty stuff, the wet, wet. Yeah, stuff that shit that would slap if you were like the primitive technology guys making a weird little outdoor oven out of it, like real slappy mud.
Yeah, it's just a body covered in topsoil, and she's like watering it. And a hand comes out like, I'm Eepy, let me out of here. And she's like, no, get back in there. You're not done cooking yet. And then Kyle's back. How did Kyle find Misty? Who knows? Who knows?
I thought you were
about
to say cares, because frankly, but anyway,
that,
yeah, go ahead.
That also, Kyle's been just meandering about free in the city for like 3 days, and he somehow found his way back to Misty.
Would any of you like have thought less of the show if they had a scene of just randomly out of nowhere Kyle the zombie getting hit by a car and then his plot line just ended?
I thought you were saying him driving a car to where she is like Michael Myers in Halloween.
You know what, honestly, either would be a real fun moment. I think I just like, you're right, this boy needs to get involved with a car in some way, shape, or form.
Like, that's the thing, is they treat him as like simultaneously like this mindless kind of like Frankenstein's monster situation, but then like he has not only the coherence to leave the house that Zoe was originally at, but like also somehow finds his way to Misty's house, which, remember, they had to drive there in a car the first time they went to Misty's house. When they left the morgue, like, they had to drive there. So, like, I don't know about you guys. I know the answer for Ty, but, like, I can't remember pathways or, like, routes, especially if I've only driven once and I'm not the one driving. There's no way I would be able to navigate to a location that's kind of remote if I had only gone there once and I was, especially if I was a zombie.
I was going to say, that's the biggest issue, I think. Yeah, is like the no brain thing, you know?
Yeah. So like even me with my full faculties couldn't recreate navigating to a place I had literally never been before. Make me a zombie and I would assume that would get even worse. I assume that would be even worse. But somehow he finds his way back to Misty's house. And she's like, oh, hey, it's my son, kind of. My, like, weird Frankenstein son that I've adopted. Let me give you a bath because you're stinky and a zombie boy. He hates baths. I don't know if it's because of his mom or if he just hates water.
I assumed it was.
They treat it like it's the water thing because he hated the water before his mom was touching him in that one episode.
Yeah,
so I don't know if like water, like, I don't know. I don't know what the implication is. He hates water. I don't know why zombies. I've never seen in any zombie media that like zombies act like to water the same way the Wicked Witch of the West does.
It turns out that fluoride in the water makes all water holy water. So it's just, but just like a little bit. So it's like a little uncomfortable for him.
Ouch. It just stinks.
Ow, a little holy. Ooh. It's like when you have you go to a new place and the water heater is like a little too juiced. So you get like a little boiling sting for a second. You're like, it's like that all the time. Yeah.
Ouch. Ouchy. Ouch. Ouch. Yeah, he hates it. He starts freaking out. Like he's like throwing stuff and she's like, hey, cut it out. And he's like, he's honking, he's hollering, he's causing a ruckus. He starts breaking stuff and he's naked, by the way, fully naked. Like we get full. Mm-hmm. I even in our group chat where we post like our thoughts as we're watching it, I just have naked Evan Peters like 7 times copy and pasted. Because it's a long scene where we just have to stare at naked Evan Peters' ass for, like, the whole meltdown. And he breaks, is it a radio or a record player? I don't remember.
It's a record player, I believe. Yeah. Or, yeah.
Gramophone, right? Isn't it?
Maybe. I think.
It's some part of the music making process that turns the record of Stevie Nicks into the output of the sound of Stevie Nicks. And that's all that really matters.
Yeah. It's a machine.
And yeah, he breaks that. And then she just kind of starts crying. And Zoe just also decides to show up because this show, much like Growing Pains, just has people arrive as they're needed. Just really sloppy shit. She just shows up and she's like, hey, is the zombie here? And just goes, oh, okay. And I want to say, yeah, Misty just like yells at her at her and is like, take him, he's a monster, he broke Stevie. And then Zoe just takes both of them. Right?
Yeah, because like, remember, Zoe's whole thing now is, like, collecting witches. Like, that's her deal now, as of the beginning of this episode.
Right.
She's like a Pokemon trainer for witches.
Yeah, she's like, we're...
It's easy to lose track of Zoe's motivation since it changes every 25 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's trying to collect as many witches as she can, and... She's like, I'm taking both of you back. And I'm like, you're taking Kyle, too? Like, last we heard, you were trying to kill Kyle. Like, you don't want to maybe deal with that before?
She's real flighty.
Every 25 minutes, her motivation changes, including her decision-making regarding Kyle. Yeah,
yeah, so they do. She does take them. Then we get a transition to a wild, wild left turn in this plot line. It's something I knew was coming because I've seen this show. I knew this from the moment that this character was introduced. I forgot how stupid it was. So we're back at Hank's storyline. He's at Marie Laveau's. And she's, like, locking up shop for the night. And he's like, hey, I know that we're out in public and you're in the middle of the street. I'm going to talk about our secret out loud in front of all these people. We have a problem. let me into your shop. And she's like, God damn it. And reopens the shop and lets him back in.
Dun, then, dun, dun.
Yeah, cliffhanger. and then it, like, if this was airing on TV, a commercial would play.
Truly a cliffhanger that turns to the audience and goes, do you care about this?
Yeah.
is this a cliffhanger for you? Did you care about Hank, the Thomas Kinkade killer?
Also, like, it's one of those things, and this is not unique to this season, nor is it unique to American Horror Story. We've seen it so many times just in the few seasons we've talked about of them presenting an absolutely asinine quote-unquote plot twist and holding it up to the audience like, is this anything? Is this anything? And you're like, no, it's not anything because it doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. It's not a good plot twist because it's so out of left field that
no
it doesn't matter.
No one cares about Hank.
Yeah.
He's Hank. He's Hank. No one cares about Hank. He's Hank.
It's the men, it's like, this truly predated the Barbie movie, like paved the way for the Barbie movie. It's just Ken. Like, it's just Hank and it's just Kyle. These two men are so far removed from being relevant to the plot. And if anything, every time they're on the screen, do nothing but drag it down. Maybe a little less.
So far away from being allowed to develop a character. It's unbelievable. Like, they truly do turn the tables, and it's just like, if they're on screen, all they're allowed to do is talk about the ladies for 5 seconds and then leave.
And when they do get to develop their character, it's insane for the few seconds they're allowed to be on the screen. For the few seconds they're allowed development, it's insane.
They die and get turned into a zombie, or they get touched by their mom and yell, or they turn into
the Thomas Kinkade killer. Yeah, it's so much. So back after the commercial ends, it doesn't matter. We're going back to Miss Robichaud's house, and they're in like Delia's greenhouse, which I don't know. Like, they don't really do a great job of fleshing out like the rules of the house, but I would think that if, like, the headmistress, which is Delia up until now, is, like, a botany witch and has, like, a special little botany greenhouse that, like, you don't mess with it. You don't, like, go in there and mess with it. It's not, like, a classroom. Like, that's her special. She's obviously, like, pretty upset about stuff because, like, when her mom put in roses instead of chrysanthemums, she was super tilted about that. So clearly she's, like, a little touchy about her plants. I would think that maybe the students wouldn't be allowed in there, but alas, it's Zoe, so.
Maybe she's like also just like hoping anyone takes an interest, so it's just like she leaves it unlocked. She puts in shackles, which is not a thing I think you need for plants, but Kyle's like manacled up in there somehow, so you know.
Yeah, they had that for, I don't know. Also, hey, I just thought about it because the show didn't. Where's Kathy Bates? What's she doing this episode?
She's recovering from not being racist anymore. It was like a really big time for her, so she just needs like needs a bit to internalize it, you know.
She has the vapors from not being racist.
Yeah.
Really took it out of her.
It's taken a lot. Yeah, she's really tuckered out. She'll get better at it.
Yeah, in case that wasn't enough of a giveaway, she's not, like, in this episode at all. I know she just had, like, a life-or-death encounter with her zombie daughters or whatever, but, like, I don't think she's in this episode at all, period. but, yeah, so, like, they're in the greenhouse getting ready to do... I don't know if this is necromancy because we have so many different iterations of the Dragon Balls in this show that, like, I don't know which one is necromancy at this point or if they're all necromancy. I don't know if what Marie Laveau did was necromancy. I don't know if what's her name, Fiona,
I mean,
did was...
Necromancy is, like, is the language literally just means, like, death magic. So, like, yes,
yeah,
to all of them. Yes. It's, like, it are is... they interacting with a dead person in a way that is magical? Yes, it is necromancy.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, all necromancy all the way down.
Like, when Marie Laveau does it, the zombies come back as, like, zombies who fight for her. When Madison did it, we got Zombie Kyle. When Misty Day and Fiona does it, the person who's dead is just fine. Like, they never died.
It's like this.
Yeah, sometimes when a welder puts down a weld, it's like a really clean line, and it's like a really solid weld, and it's functionally just one piece of metal. And some welders are really bad, and they put down like a bunch of like dotted beads and like do it really poorly or overlay it, so it'll just like break, become brittle. What I'm saying is some of these are clearly better necromancers than others.
Well, here's the deal. You have like Fire, Fyra, Faraga, and Faraza, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing, right? It's just like... Zombaza. You know what I mean?
I feel like Marie Laveau is like going wide though, right? Like she did like zombie all as opposed to just like full revive.
No, 100% agree on that. Yeah, totally.
And then that just means Madison's really bad at it then, because she only revived one guy and it was real bad. And he doesn't even listen.
That's a great
point, Liz. He doesn't even listen. So.
That's a great point, Liz. It's almost like Madison was very bad at it. Yes.
And she had to marry the devil for it to work. So it's like a whole bunch of stuff. Like a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
And also like Fiona and Misty Day's version of reviving people. Like Misty Day seems to be able to heal people's problem when they die. Whereas Fiona just unkilled Queenie and didn't fix her stab wound.
Right.
It's she like drags the soul back into the body. Yeah.
It's Phoenix down, but no healing yet. You know what I mean? And like Misty Day's like level full life. Yeah. I'm big on Kingdom Hearts right now, so I'm all the square magicking, so you know.
You'd think that the Supreme would be better at it than just some lady who just learned that she could do it. But Misty Day's just built different, I guess. She's better at it. And Zoe is essentially like, hey, you did such a great job with, I don't know, because I don't know that you've revived anybody, because I'm the one who brought Kyle back. Hey, can you bring this person back from the dead? I don't actually know that you can bring people back from the dead. I've just decided you can do that. Can you do that? And they look at Madison's corpse on the table, which is very decomposed. And Misty's like, no, that one's too dead. And Zoe's like, well.
Zoe hits her with the most Kung Pao bullshit of, I implore you to reconsider. And then Misty Day just goes, okay.
Because she even like sort of implies like it can't be done, because she's like she's missing an arm, and Zoe's like, no, I got it here. It's like, yeah, no, this is like way past, dude. She's like, please, like
she's
too
rotten. Yeah, like she's too rotten. She's too far gone. Like I heal people. I don't like undo weeks of decay.
Yeah,
and then Zoe's just like, what about this time? Okay.
Why did you even bring it up in the script then? You know what I mean? Like, what was the point? Like, just like have her say, yeah, okay, I'll do it. You know, from the get go. It doesn't, but why?
It almost reads as though they wanted to acknowledge people like us who would be watching, who'd be like, yeah, there's no way she can bring back someone who's been rotting for weeks. That's like way worse than anything else that she's done. And then instead of like giving us an answer as to why she can do it, she just decides she can do it. But they wanted to acknowledge that it is weird. They wanted to draw attention to the fact that it is strange and she probably shouldn't be able to do it.
But like, why?
They've already brought out a mechanic that they could use that would perfectly answer this, which is just make Misty take a big nap afterwards.
Yeah.
Do the Marie Laveau thing. Yeah. Like, just be like, okay, I'm going to do this, but like, I'm going to pass out for like 20 hours. So just like, please put me in a bed and like, give me a bunch of blankets or something.
Yeah.
But like, no, they just have to be like, I can't do it. You can do it. Yeah, I can do it.
it's just so weird.
Her up on a table. And Misty Day, I guess the way she's decided to revive Madison is by just like pushing on her stomach.
I think they specifically say they're like pushing the death out of her. She has too much death in her and they have to push it out of her. I'm like, so what you're saying is that her internal organs have liquefied. How do you fix that?
What you're saying is you just saw The Princess Bride recently and Billy Crystal does that as like a little joke thing and now it's in American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
As a serious thing, but whatever.
Correct. Yeah. So I think I don't remember because it's been a couple of days since I watched the episode. I don't remember. I think they slapped some mud on her disconnected arm.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I don't think that's how the magic mud works. But whatever. Why did you even bring magic mud with you? You didn't know why she was bringing you to
also
the house.
Worked instantly, mm-hmm. as opposed to needing weeks of like glue. Repeated application in time. Yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of glues her arm back on, and it's fine. Like she's normal. Yeah. And
so either way, they give her a big push on the tummy, and she spits out a cockroach. Yuck! Gross! Icky! And then she sits up and coughs a little bit, and is like, okay, I'm alive and fully aware of my surroundings and my faculties. Hi, hello, I'm back. And everyone goes, whoa.
So
because
no...
why is she just like fully back?
There's like no consequences to anything now, though. You know what I mean? Like there's no like there's no stakes.
Oh, and Madison, yeah. Madison does ask for a cigarette. Oh, isn't that so, that's so Raven. Am I right?
Yeah, she also has, like, because the plot needs her to, she has, like, selective amnesia about how she died for some reason. Like, just remembers, like, randomly, like, she remembers the color red, and that's it. And ta-da! And I'm like, okay, well, it's not like she got bonked on the head. She got her throat cut, so
I am really going to applaud the writing because I absolutely know for a fact that there was a draft of this where she goes, you got a cigarette? And then Zoe goes, these things will kill you. And they like someone stopped that from happening. The future changed, thankfully. But anyway.
One of the actors was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that.
It's not going to happen. Sorry. Or the editor's like, whoops, forgot it. Yep.
Yeah. So all you need to know is that Madison's back. Shrug. Yeah. Death is meaningless currently.
Time to go to the home of Baby Gravy. It's back at it again at Mary Laveau's house because it's time to figure out what Hank was talking about. And boy, howdy, is it one of the stupidest doozies of the entire show.
Hank is not who you think he is, and that's probably for the best because I don't think any of us thought anything about Hank up until he John Wick'd a lady for no reason.
But there was a reason.
There was a reason. He's like, why did you throw acid on my wife's eyes? And Marie Laveau is like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, when I hired you, so TLDR, because I don't even remember the back and forth. It's very stupid, and it reads like a Wattpad fan fiction. Hank's a witch hunter. Like the Malus Maleficorum witch hunter, like the witch's hammer style witch hunter who hunts down witches. What? Why? Who knows? He just does it. And he does it like for hire, I guess, which is not typically how that kind of a person works.
He's like the worst Belmont. Yeah. Like, just a tragically dog shit Hank Belmont. I'm here to, I don't know, marry Dracula. No, you fucking idiot. That's not what you do.
You're supposed to kill them, not like marry them.
Whole conversation goes is Marie Laveau being like, what are you doing? I hired you to kill the witches in that house and you married one of them. And he's like, no, you don't understand. It's the long conversation. I'm doing the long con.
She does the interviews when the new witches show up, so then I know where the new witches are, so I can go kill them. And she's like, well, what about the ones that are already there just vibing? Yeah, they're just vibing. I leave them alone. Well, don't leave them alone.
It's like an infinite money glitch. See? I kill witches, you know, and then boom.
And she's like, well, what about all the sex you're having with your hot witch wife? And he's like, that's not important. I don't like my hot witch wife. And she's like, I think you do like your hot witch wife. And he's like, no, no, I don't like my hot witch wife.
Well, she's not hot anymore thanks to you throwing acid. I told you I didn't do that. Yeah, and it's like...
And then we get a flashback while he's like trying to like explain himself to Marie Laveau where we see Delia interviewing Kaylee, the red-haired girl who gets John Wick sniped by him. And she has pyrokinesis. Spoiler alert, she was a witch. And she had pyrokinesis and she like arsoned her house with her ex-boyfriend in it. And then she went to, like, Miss Robichaud's house, and she's being interviewed.
It's also, it's so funny how they show the boyfriend breaking up with her.
Oh, it's great.
Because they realize, it's so goddamn funny, man, because they realize, like, any men watching this show, this woman has been nothing but super delightful, incredibly attractive, and just lovely, just a doll the entire time. So they're like, I don't know, have the reason be like, my friends just don't like you, and my parents don't trust you. You give them the heebie-jeebies. Like, I don't know, I don't know what my problem is, but I have one, so I'm out of here. And she goes, that doesn't make sense. And he goes, I know. And then he gets lit on fire.
Yeah.
You're perfect. I gotta go.
Yeah. And like all the other people who have done physical harm to someone else with magic, she just doesn't get, like, arrested for it or anything, even if you couldn't find, like, the thing that set the fire, there's reason to believe she set him on fire. Like, I don't think you just get away with it. Like, Queenie's is a little bit harder because there were witnesses who didn't see anybody throw acid or burning hot oil on the guy. And,
right,
like,
but,
it's really hard to tie Madison to the falling light that killed the director. Hers is a little more implausible because she definitely had motive for setting a guy on fire. And a guy did get set on fire in her house, so...
And she was there.
Yeah.
And no one else was around.
At the scene of the fire getting lit.
And nothing else besides him got set on fire. So, like, I would think that maybe she'd at least get detained for a little bit. Well, they figured it out. Because people don't typically just catch on fire. Not usually. But yeah, apparently they don't care, and she just gets to wander to New Orleans to go talk to Delia. And then, like, Kaylee starts to get, like, weird cold feet about joining the Robichaud house. She's like, I don't actually like it here. It makes me feel weird.
Sorry, I just caught in. I was just reading through your notes, and I just forgot the part where he just goes, my mom says if I marry you, I'll regret it forever, which, like, is the most bitch-made shit I've ever heard in my life. Oh, my God. My mom says that it'll be bad to marry you. Fucking skill issue, brother.
Yeah, like, is your mom a witch hunter? Like, how does she know?
Yeah,
like, because Kaylee's, like, a delightful little lady other than having pyrokinesis. Like,
which no one knows about.
Yeah, like, it's not like she's, like, dressed all gothy and, like, constantly doing chants about the devil and hooting and hollering about Beelzebub or something. Like, she's just a nice lady.
She got killed for being the way that someone got in her life to kill her was by appreciating Thomas Kincaid, the most boring artist.
Yeah, which, by the way, they show us this flashback as a, like, oh, that's how he found Kaylee, because they have Kaylee say the most, like, I'm saying this so that you'll remember what happened before, ass shit I've ever seen, of, like, out of nowhere, she's, like, to Delia, because she doesn't know Hank is eavesdropping, she goes, I actually, she says it like this, by the way, like, I'm not really doing a bit when I say this, she's like, I don't think I want to be here at the witch house, I would like to get married and have kids, I think I have a good chance of that, I work out every day, and I like watching football, and then that's where the scene ends. So, like, she says three things, I guess, that are like, oh, that's how he knew so much about her, how to, like, track her down and, like, what she'd be interested in, so he could just, like, feed her all the information she wants to hear. Except for all of the things she said, like a robot reading off an eHarmony profile, were not what she said when they met. Like, she didn't mention Thomas Kincaid. She didn't mention any of that. She didn't mention, like, growing up in a small town. None of that. It's just, I work out every day. I want 3 children, and I like watching football. And then that's the end of the flashback.
Yeah. It's like, and that's, like, a thing, like, by the way, like, quite a lot of guys are, into football. It's, you know what I mean? It's not like Hank's, like, a super spy here. Like, I know all your turn-ons. Like, football and beer? Wow. Like, that's, like, every fucking guy, you know.
And wanting kids. That's only, like, a huge percentage of the population. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what big fucking whoop.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's very strange. But anyway, all you need to take from that is that Hank has been, like, tracking, which you'd think, okay, listen, we only have, like, a history of one. We only know of one. But you'd think after, like, the second time that happens where, like, someone shows up at the school and then ends up dead, because clearly they know about, they being, like, Delia and Fiona, keep tabs on, like, witches who go missing or die because they're all hooting and hollering about Misty Day in episode one and how she got killed. Like, that's a big deal for them. That's why Miss Robichaud's school exists. So clearly they're aware of those witches because otherwise Hank wouldn't know about them. You'd think that, like, after, like, the second or third one, they'd be like, hey, wait a second. All the witches who come to our school and then leave end up dying. Why is that? Why do they come here and then get killed afterwards? That's a little odd. Like, even the council or, like, Nan, like, have said, like, oh, I don't sense this person anymore. So, like, clearly there's, like, some kind of connection between witches like that. No one's keeping tabs on that. Like, Hank's just, he says a number, and I think it's, like, kind of high. I don't remember what it was, but, like, he says, like, a number to Marie Laveau. And somehow they never, like, put that together, I guess. Anyway, he's like, that's why I am still with my hot witch wife. And, like, the sex is okay, too, or whatever. But, like, I'm just doing it for the intel. It's fine. And then Marie's like, I literally hired you to kill my enemies. I'm like, all right. So, like, we were introduced to Marie Laveau's side as, like, hey, we've had a treaty with these people for forever, and it's now over because they saved whatever Kathy Bates' character's name is. But other than that, we've been fine up until Fiona showed back up. But, like,
and now it's like, nah. Marie Laveau's been actually hunting them in the background the whole time, yeah?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, that kind of, why bother showing us the, like, treaty if secretly she's just been not doing the treaty the whole time. I don't know. I'm sure it gets resolved. I just remembered that Hank was a witch hunter. Like, as soon as I saw Hank, I was like, oh yeah, this guy exists in this series.
Why don't you just kill Delia then when she comes to see you about having the baby? And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, what do you need Hank for in this, actually? Like, how is this?
Yeah.
Like, I want to kill them without them knowing I killed them, but also I want them to respect and fear me for killing them without them knowing I killed them. It's like, well, okay, well, you gotta choose at some point.
Yeah.
You gotta make a decision.
You, like, sent a bunch of zombies after them. Like, this is not, like, a subtle kind of thing, you know? And they even gotta know that you did. Like, this is all weird. Like,
and then the Minotaur.
Also, she's mad. Yeah, and she's mad that they killed the Minotaur still, by the way, which, again, like, you deployed the Minotaur. That's your fault.
Yeah.
You did that one.
Yeah. And Hank's like, I'm working on it. All I mean, like, she's got her eyes burned or whatever. I'll take care of it. She's mad at me right now. I can't go home. And Marie Laveau's like, you better go burn down that house or I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, why don't you just go do it? If you're just going to resort to, like, burning down the house, just go do it. Like, why are you sending Hank?
Yeah.
This is very much a case of all you've done is given the witch hunter who has, in your own words, fallen in love with and gone soft for one of the witches, and giving him a reason to pivot back to working with them. Even if he is, like, clearly on the outs and would need to be like, hey, I fucked up. Here's all the ways hey, you can just see everything now. I'm just going to tell you shit. Like, just so you know, like, if you're going to kill me, you're going to kill me, or Marie Laveau's going to kill me. Or the other thing it would incentivize him to do, hit the bricks.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah.
Leave. Walk away.
Also, I mentioned,
this is, like, officially where I'm just like, fuck this. Too much. Voodoo, witch, I'm out. Done with this.
I think I mentioned in our last episode, when Delia touches his hand and, like, gets the sight TM, she sees Kaylee and is like, who's the redhead? Who is that? And how, like, that doesn't make any sense given what we know now. So, like, Delia definitely knows who Kaylee is, because they've met and, like, she took note of who Kaylee was. I feel like if your whole deal was, like, finding the few witches in the world, you'd remember the, like, three that you met. And she doesn't. And it's not like Kaylee is, like, not memorable. She has bright, fiery red hair and has fire powers. Like, she looks like an X-Man.
Also, would be a case where you had failed, right? Because, like, you had set up this place to hold and protect witches, but it became so unappealing that a witch said, nah, I'm good, and then went and got killed. Like, that would be perhaps the largest failure a recruiter could have. That's Professor Xavier, like, failing to get Jubilee, and then the small fireworks child dying. And being like, ah, I forgot about her, whatever, big whoop. Got a lot of stuff going on. Big brain! A lot of stuff to think about.
I got the vagina girl, it's good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, who needs the pyromancer? I got Coochie Witch.
Yeah, no, and even on top of that, like, earlier in the greenhouse, we forgot to mention, like, when they're doing the Madison revival thing, I don't remember exactly how the conversation comes up organically, but, like, now Zoe has decided that even though she thought Misty was a weirdo that she didn't want to interact with for some reason up until now, she's like, Misty, you should live here now. Which, when I said that Misty's a different character, she's got a totally different vibe now. She's like, no, this place sucks. The vibes are bad. She literally says the vibes are bad. And she's like, I don't want to stay here. I know my whole thing is like wanting to find witch friends and being around other witches, but this place blows. I don't like it here. I don't want to stay. And then Zoe does the same thing where she's like, you want to think about it again? And then Misty's like, fine. I guess I live here now or whatever.
Even
Misty, whose like whole character was about being like crushingly lonely and wanting to find other fellow witches, is like, this place, bad vibes, don't like it, I don't want to be here. So Robichaud House not doing well,
and she's not wrong.
She is not wrong. Back at home, it's nighttime. And they don't tell Fiona that they brought Madison back. I don't know how she wouldn't just know that, like sense it or something.
Especially since she did just develop mind reading and was clearly having trouble controlling it. Also, there's no reason that the girls would have for not telling Fiona. Like, they know Fiona burned Myrtle, but they don't know that Fiona, you know, did this, right?
In the same way they didn't know that Spaulding didn't do it.
Spaulding.
Yeah.
Correct. This is another case of Zoe just intuiting shit in a way that is very frustrating to me. Just like, come on, at least try to write a reason the characters know things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's confusing, but not as confusing and weird as the next sequence of events. Remember the Axeman, the guy who this episode's titled after?
Do I? Yes.
I know everybody's been waiting for him to make a comeback. He does. So Delia is trying to learn how to live life while being blind. No one is bothering to help her. She's just kind of fumbling around her room, undressing.
Screaming.
Yeah, screaming.
A lot, yeah.
Well, she's screaming because there's another person in there, and it's the Axeman.
Skibbity-bobbity, it's the Axeman. Here he is again. I hate this guy.
He is now, like, tangible. I don't know if he's, like, Slenderman rules, or, like, if you think about him too much, he becomes real or whatever, but, like, he's tangible now in the house. He wasn't before, but he is now.
It's like she didn't know that he was there without, and now that she has the sight, she's like, wait, somebody's here. Because she takes her shirt off, right? She's wearing like a bra, and he's like, wait a second, there's a guy in here suddenly. And he's like, yep, I'm here. And I always hated this room, which is a really weird thing to say, and I don't get what the point of that is, but whatever.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm gonna menace you now. And she's like, oh no, I hate being menaced. And he's like hollering at her, and then it again cuts to a different scene. Now we get like a little brief interlude where Madison's like sitting on a bed, and she's like, I don't remember anything, and I just remember that it was red before I died. Also, heaven's not real. There's no afterlife.
I can't.
And then Zoe goes, yeah, whatever, here's a ginger ale for your tummy hort. And she's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
She's like, I can't feel anything. I tried to, like, tried to drink. Can't get drunk. Can't get fucked up. Can't, like, feel pain. I don't know. This sucks. Everything's kind of just, you know. But
yeah, and she froze up. and then back to the X-Man and Fiona, like, he, like, pins her to a wall, and I'm like, bro, you can see she's blind. Like, relax.
Oh, Delia. I wrote this wrong in the notes. Sorry.
Delia. I am constantly trying to keep their names straight because they're so wildly close to one another. And he has her, like, pressed against the wall, and this is where it's, like, again, they made him, like, weirdly horny. Like, he's like, oh, that other witch said she'd give me my release, and now you're gonna give me my release. Yeah. And it's like,
I'm jazz-coded, which means I talk about sex, but in a weird metaphorical way. I'm gonna need my release, give it about me, give it about me. It's just like, what are you doing, dude?
And like, he's not, like, he's got a woman in her bra, like, pinned against the wall, and he's being weirdly horny towards her.
And he has an axe.
And he has an axe, and he's like, no, no, not that kind of release, you pervert. I want to get released into the real world. And I'm like, why are you trapped here in the first place? This isn't Murder House. Why are you, you're physically tangible now. Why are you trapped here?
And so then he's like, okay, now I need you to get those witches in here who promised to free me so that they'll do that. And then she runs to the door and the door is locked and he goes, no, not like that. And then swings an axe nearby her and she yells. And I'm like, well, you are going to need to unlock the door. Like, they won't be able to get in otherwise.
You know what,
so that is going to need to be handled.
You know what makes your horror character really not menacing is when he's like trying to menace a woman who is locked in the same room as him and fucking blind. And, like, she's, like, escaping him somehow, like, constantly, like, running around the bed in a loop like a video game or something.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't, like, so, yeah, because, yeah, outside, I think, is it here? Yeah. She's, like, screaming. She screams, and then, like, Zoe and them are like, oh, no, and Delia's door is locked. It must be the X-Man. What can we do? So they get the idea that they have to release him, you know, so, like, they, like, go to the attic or something, and then they're looking at these books, and Zoe's like, and uses, like, the Force or something, and is like, I need this book. This is the one. Which, like...
Yeah, the midichlorians coming out of this book are hitting different, and it's this one.
Yeah, and it's like,
pull it out.
Like, when could you do that? Did you consult your vagina quick? Like, what happened here? But whatever, she knows. Like, so, yeah.
She's a knower.
And yeah, like, by the way, in the room, Delia's, like, screaming and also, like, doing, like, sick dodge moves around the axe, which, again, like, she's blind and, like, not, hasn't been blind for a while. Even in, like, kung fu media, when someone gets, like, extremely good at fighting via being blind, they still have, like, an arc to go through. They don't just do it
immediately.
Yeah,
she's not Daredevil. You know? She is not Daredevil. Cannot overstate how not Daredevil she is.
The last two scenes were her, like, struggling to use a cane to perceive things in front of her, not daredeviling.
She's doing, like, she's dodging these axes like Leon Kennedy with lasers, you know? It's just, like, QTEs everywhere, backflips we don't see, you know? Like,
parrying a chainsaw with a knife, just the whole, like, kit and caboodle.
Skis, bop, boop, bop, stand still, will ya? Hey!
And, yeah, they do the ritual. Okay, so, like, they do the ritual to release him, and I'm like, you guys don't know a ritual to, like, put him in super hell or something? Like,
right?
Can't you lock him, like, down even worse? There's, like, also, only a go, not a stop.
By the way, the spell is literally, like, bad spirit, get free, baby. Like, it's literally, like, malice spirit, freedomus or some shit. It's like, wow, guys, really? Or it's, like, malice spirit liberatum. It's, like, literally just, like, bad spirit, get out of here, do what you gotta.
Latin is so scary. Which, like,
terrible spell. If you translate it, does it work? Is that why, like, in other seasons, sometimes when they're just like, get the fuck out of here, pig man, he's just like, oh, okay.
And, like, oh, no. I gotta go.
Damn it. That was the spell. How did they know?
I mean, in season one, Tate literally tells Violet, you just have to tell the ghosts to fuck off, and they will. And they do. So maybe that is the case.
I forgot, does Roanoke not work? It's just like the
Croatoan.
Croatoan. I'm sorry. Yes, that's right.
I have no idea how Croatoan applies.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Axeman's free, and he gets outside the house. He's like, hell yeah, I'm outside the house now. And I guess I'm a tangible man again, question mark. And then a car drives by playing rap music, and he's like, oh, no! I hate that!
Yeah, playing 50 Cent, and he, And this is really where it's confusing, right? Because originally his character was like, I like jazz because it's the hip new experimental music. And I hate classical, the old established order. And he hears a new type of music using new exciting rhythms and goes, no, I hate this, actually. I've decided I'm going to be racist. It's like, wait, no, but he was a jazz man in the times when, like, you couldn't be racist and be a jazz man. Well, it's like the one thing he wouldn't do. Come on.
The stupidest, most ignorant jazz person ever.
Yeah.
Fine, I guess I'll let a couple black people play jazz with me, one or two or something.
Like, what a prick, right?
And then, if you think you know where this is going, I promise you don't. He meanders out into the New Orleans night, and we cut to Fiona, who's at a bar, dealing with everything she's been dealing with for the last day or so, drinking. And then who shows up but our fella, the Axeman, and he sits up beside her and is like, hey, pretty lady, can I buy you a drink? And I'm like, with your ghost money? Where do you, how are you, did you manifest ghost money?
He died with $40 in his pockets, oh. And now it's worth like $2,000.
Yo, ghost inflation. Let's go.
Ghost inflation. Oh, yeah, it works that way, right? I think.
Invest in yourself. That's right.
That's why pharaohs were like, no, I need that gold. I need that gold with me. I need that myrrh, bro.
When I wake up from the afterlife, I'm going to be loaded. It's like investing. It was crypto. It was crypto for like the ancient
ghost-o.
Egyptians. Yeah.
It's fucking ghosto, bro.
Spiritual crypto.
Ripcoin. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Ripcoin.
Ripcoin.
Nice. Oh my god. And then they give each other like horny bedroom eyes and then the episode ends. So is Fiona going to fuck the Axeman? Who could say? Is this anything?
Which they act like there's like any form of threat whatsoever to Fiona, but it's like, nah, I've seen Fiona like blow like grown ass men up with her mind, like
Fiona
just look at
the
funny
Minotaur
and they like explode.
Also,
yeah,
hey,
easily off screen, yeah. In a way that was so easily we were just assumed to be like, yeah, no, she just did that. So like, why would this random frumpy skibbity bop ass dude be like a concern?
And
bowler hat ass motherfucker.
And is he a ghost or is he a real guy? Like, what's the deal?
Hey. Oh, no, he got the drop on her and accidentally cut her head off with the axe? No, because Misty Day's here, so she can just come right back. Life too, baby. Like, nothing, there's no threat to anybody in this whole thing. Even Delia's been like, someone will bring me back. You know, like, it's...
Also, she has mind reading, so he would just think some weird shit, like, you're the cat's pajamas. And she'd be like, wait, are you a ghost from the 60s? Like, hey, hold on.
Oh, you just want to get out of here? I can do that. Just let me go. We don't even need the other witches. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's where they want us to be interested in the next episode is, will Fiona fuck a ghost? ? She has cancer, so who knows? She might.
I mean, yeah.
Ghost with a Boner is a rare cliffhanger, but I'm glad to see it, you know, executed at least once in media. What's the next episode's name?
Oh.
What is it?
Oh, no? This is a pretty stupid one. It's just very generic, though. Oh? Like, it's not like, I'll just tell you, it is The Dead.
Cool.
Oh.
All right.
But we already have done The Dead. Like, we've revived the guy.
We got a new
and then
one.
Had a lot of zombies.
We have a new Dead.
And then
wait till episode 8, Witches. You know, yeah, it's going to be. No, I'm joking. But,
Oh, good grief. All right. Well, till next time, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, if you, if you really enjoyed it, check out the Patreon. We have quite a few bonus episodes out there. And, we'd appreciate your support.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Till next time. Oh, well, I guess I should say what the Patreon is. Patreon.com/greatandterribleAHS. Is there an underscore?
No, it's great and terrible, all spelled out AHS, all one word.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Sick. Yeah. So till next time, everybody, have a great night. Take it easy.
Bye.